Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a landmark in Wilmore, the Scott Station Inn, and the history of that place and what it does today. We'll talk to its owners, Bo and Sarah Quigg, right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Doug Fain with you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of our county. Now today we're going to travel to the southern city in our county, Wilmore. You may have heard of that, of course. And when you go down the street, just before you get to the Main Street businesses, on the left there is a two-story home that has been there for a long time and is the site of Scott Station Inn. We're going to find out more about that and its history. With me today are the owners, Bo and Sarah Quigg. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you along and glad you made the trek up north so that we can talk about this business. Whoever wants to start, we'll talk about Scott Station in a moment. It's a bed and breakfast and the honors, some of the honors you received and its history. First, though, I'd like to know more about you guys. How in the world did you all find Wilmore and more particularly the Scott Station Inn?
Well, Sarah and I have been coming to Wilmore since we were teenagers, and Ichthus brought us to Wilmore.
Oh, yes.
So when we were 17, we came for the first time in 1978 to Ichthus, and we've been coming back to Wilmore ever since for different things. I attended graduate school there in the early 80s, and it's just been part of our lives, it seems like, forever.
For a long time.
Yes.
Where are you originally from, Bo?
We're from the Owensboro area, Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Down from there. Mm-hmm. And we'll just do a little personal history here. How did you guys meet?
Well, when I was 16, my family moved from Illinois back to Kentucky, and we lived across the street from Sarah and her family.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, so we've known
each
other.
Very convenient.
We've known each other since 1975.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they moved back, Sarah, was it one of those, oh my gosh, look at that guy?
I did like him pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's good. Was your family, now you said you went to, were you originally from Illinois, your family, Bo?
No, we, my dad's job took us to Illinois for a while when I was growing up.
From Owensboro?
Correct.
Now, but and your family, Sarah, was always in Owensboro, is that correct?
Right.
So, but you didn't know each other until you came back.
Correct.
Yeah, yep. All right. So you cross the street from each other, I'm assuming high school sweethearts then, it sounds to me like.
Well, we were just friends in high school.
Yeah.
We rode to school together every day. Sarah was the only girl, and there were four of us guys, and she loved that because she was the only girl.
Yeah.
Three of us were new guys in town. And we actually lived in a smaller town south of Owensboro called Livermore.
Okay.
So we didn't date. We were just good friends. We were in youth group together. And then in college, we did start dating. But we broke up, and 35 years later, we married.
35 years?
Yes, yes. We stayed in touch. We knew each other's spouses and children. Sarah became widowed, and 5 years after her husband passed away, we married.
Isn't that something? I mean, and it's nice that you were able to stay in touch with each other and kind of not lose touch. So it all worked out as it was meant to be. A little bit, and I'm going to take each one of you. What did you got when you graduated? What was path did you take?
Well, we were both in education, and we took we retired from teaching, and that's what brought us back to Wilmore. We wanted to. We were too young to not do anything, so we wanted to continue working, and we love hospitality. We love cooking and food, and so we started looking for business opportunities, and I saw that the Scott Station was for sale, and I told Sarah, you know, if people haven't been to Wilmore, they don't get Wilmore.
Right.
But it's really an international sort of hub.
Exactly.
With the Asbury University and the seminary, people come from all over the world. And then with the horse industry and the Bourbon Trail and the wineries and Shaker Village and Civil War sites, there's so much tourism, so many tourism opportunities available in this area. So we came up and looked at the inn over spring break in 2014. We loved the bones of the building, and we made an offer on it. And
there it was.
There it was.
Well, since you brought that up, let's talk about the history of the place. Scott Station Inn, there is a particular history in the name itself.
Correct.
Having to do with Wilmore. So kind of go over that, what you know about that.
Well, the local folklore is that Wilmore was originally named Scott Station mm-hmm. after a prominent family. And when the railroad came through, Mr. Scott didn't seem to want to keep his cattle off of the tracks. Mm-hmm. And I believe there were some cattle killed and maybe some lawsuits. But eventually the train conductor and the postmaster conspired and changed the name of this town from Scott Station to Wilmore.
Who was also a gentleman. There was a gentleman named, I want to say John, I could be wrong, but Wilmore was his last name. And it was a friend, I think, from what the history I've read. And somehow those people that you mentioned decided, well, let's just name it after him.
Right.
But it was all in retaliation, as you said, against Mr. Scott and this killing of livestock by the train on the in the lawsuits. Just amazing how sometimes towns' names come about.
Yeah.
So Scott Station, because for those that have never been to Wilmore, the train runs right through it. I mean, you know, you go downtown and just wait a while, you'll see a train. So that's why Station, I guess, came about.
Correct. And Johnny Fitch started our bed and breakfast in 1992 mm-hmm. and named it Scott Station Inn as a nod to the history of the town. And the way I understand it, Wilmore did not exist until the train came through. The largest community in the area was Mount Freedom, which existed sort of halfway between Wilmore and what is now High Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then and Mount Freedom Baptist Church in Wilmore is named after that little settlement area. But yes, the inn was originally, it was two houses that were put together in the late 1800s to create a hotel for the train station.
You know, you mentioned me that in a meeting. That's something I was not aware of. Very interesting. I'm assuming, did the houses sit next to each other and they were put together? How did that work? Do you know?
Well, the pictures that we have showed the original front house was always on Main Street at 305 East Main. And then the other property was moved and attached to the back.
Oh, so that's how, not side to side, but front to back.
Front to back.
Interesting.
So it's really cool. It was called the Salee Hotel after a local family who's still
there.
The Salees are still in the area. And it had 7 guest rooms and 1 indoor bathroom. In the late 1800s.
And that was highfalutin.
Yes.
To even have an inside bathroom.
Correct.
So the Salees opened this, they put the houses together and opened a hotel. And it's very interesting that we do still have, in fact, our jailer is one of the descendants, John Salee, and his mother Phyllis was clerk down there for years and that bunch. So it operates, I'm assuming, as a hotel for quite some time. Is that correct?
We would assume so. I know it also was owned at one time by, or used as a ladies' dormitory for Asbury College. It has been a boarding house through the years. It has been a private home. It has been a law office, and a bookstore was in the downstairs at one point. So it's served a lot of functions over the years since the late 1800s.
So a lot of things have happened in that home. But you said in 1992, Johnny, who is a son of Mr. Fitch with Fitch's IGA, came here from New York and opened the grocery store, decided to take on, and this was before Johnny had his illnesses that he has endured, and was I guess he's still pretty active in the store at that time when he opened this place.
I'm not sure about that, but I know he did remodel and decorate and furnish the inn and opened it up as a, at that time it had still the seven guest rooms, and each room had their own bathroom and he operated it for several years. And even at that time there was such a demand for lodging in Wilmore, they had an annexed building on Maple Street for overflow.
Didn't know that. Now, do you all still have that?
No.
Okay. All right. So, Johnny in 92. Now, when did you decide that you would get into this?
We purchased the inn in June of 2014.
Okay. Did you do a whole lot to it?
We did. We spent 4 months doing a major interior renovation, a new flooring, new HVAC, put in a commercial kitchen, upgraded bathrooms and plumbing, changed doors, tore out walls, took out a staircase. We did a lot of work, new flooring. The previous owners, John and Nancy Greenfield, they purchased the inn from Johnny Fitch, and they'd done a lot on the exterior. Mm-hmm. New windows, new siding, and new roof, and mm-hmm. sidewalks. They put a nice deck on the back. Mm-hmm. And so we feel like we came in and gave the inside a lift, so that now we have like the best of both worlds, the exterior and the interior, mm-hmm. both in top shape.
You mentioned, Sarah, how do you fit into this? I mean, had you had any experience in this kind of thing? Is this something you, because you were in education, right?
Right. I was a teacher.
Yeah. I mean, where did your interest for even doing this come about? I mean,
well, I've always
was this one of those deals where he came home and said, "We're going to buy in Wilmore," and you're like, "You're crazy." What happened there?
Well, one evening, Bo was looking at the newspaper or online and said, "What would you say if we bought a bed and breakfast in Wilmore, Kentucky?" And I looked at him and thought, "What in the world?" But then,
you'd been to Wilmore because of Ichthus,
yes,
many years
yes,
ago. Okay,
yes,
so you remember it from
the 70s.
Oh, okay,
yeah. And I thought, you know, years ago, my mother told me, probably 25 years ago, when I was living with my late husband in outside of Indianapolis, mm-hmm. had three little girls, and I would fix Mom and Dad gourmet meals. And Mom looked at me one day and said, "Sarah Bess, you need to have a bed and breakfast someday."
Prophetic.
And I said, "Wow. Mom, how can I do that? I had a newborn, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old, and then I started homeschooling, and mm-hmm. my life went in different directions." And so it's just, you know, the sovereignty of God that Bo and I came back mm-hmm. together after
yeah.
35 years. And he's so talented. He's like a self-taught gourmet chef. Mm-hmm. And I love cooking and love hospitality. So it all came together. And we really enjoy it.
On a personal note, and some mm-hmm. things I just picked up on here, evidently your husband passed when your children were small. Is that right?
They were teenagers.
Okay, they were teenage. Well, they
yes.
still were young. So
yes.
they've had the pleasure of having two dads
right.
To raise them, your late husband and Bo, of course. What do they do now, if you don't mind me asking?
My Tell three girls them. Are Sarah Emily lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. She's a personal chef and a health coach.
Oh, yeah?
For a company called Health Dare.
Mm-hmm.
My middle daughter, Hannah, and her husband, James, he's in the Marines, but they are actually driving across the country today, moving to Rock Hill, South Carolina. She just got a new job as a marketing director at a hospital in Rock Hill.
Good.
And they just bought a house, so all that is happening
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
And then my youngest, Olivia, is married to Mitch McCarl, and they live in Chicago, and he's a youth pastor, mm-hmm. and she is an event planner.
Wow. So, do you have grandchildren?
No, not on my side, but on both
okay.
sides.
Okay, well, that's where we're going now. Yeah. So, Bo, you, by that, tell me you have children. You want
yes,
to tell me
I
about
have a
that?
Daughter who lives in Destin, Florida, and mm-hmm. she's a realtor.
That's a shame. That's
it
an
is.
Awful place to live. We've been there probably a dozen times. It's just mm-hmm. a terrible place
it
to
is.
Have
and
to
And it's
live.
A terrible place to go for vacation,
Oh, gosh,
too.
Yeah, yeah. It's just too hot.
And she has four sons.
Oh, wow.
And then my son lives in Nashville, and mm-hmm. he has a son. So we have five grandsons on my side, mm-hmm. and we're excited to see what happens on
yours.
The girls.
Well, your side needs to be the girls, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a pretty big family then that, mm-hmm. that both of mm-hmm. you have been involved with then. Well, that's good. Yeah, it seemed like it was all the plan of the man upstairs mm-hmm. to bring all this together, even though mm-hmm. tragedy was involved. Mm-hmm. The fact is that it came together and Wilmore was available at that time. Mm-hmm. You had been there, could have been anywhere in, I guess, in the country, but it was a town that you had been and visited. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I said you remembered it from back then, it's changed some, but not to the extent that you think it would have changed in 40 years. Mm-hmm. It's just, even though with the expansion mainly of Asbury,
correct,
it's still the quaint town that people knew back then. Mm-hmm. And that had to draw your attention. But how did you wrestle in your mind, if you did, the thought that it's not a big town? How are we going to make this business work in this small of a place?
Well, Sarah did a little research and read that college towns are one of the best places to own a bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have Asbury University, and it's growing. It's very vibrant. Mm-hmm. It has an international reach. So we felt really strongly about that. We also knew from a tourism standpoint all of the wonderful assets for tourism that exist here in the county mm-hmm. and in this region. To us, it's one of the prettiest and most desirable parts of our Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. It's there's so many things to do and see. So we just, you know, with a combination of feeling that we would have guests from the college and tourists coming from all over. You know, we did our due diligence. We looked at the previous owners' records and mm-hmm. their bookings and expenses and income and things like that. So it wasn't just a, it wasn't a blind leap of faith. Right. It was, but it was just a, you know, we just felt like it was the right thing to do, the right place for us. It was.
And I guess it was good that you did have previous owners and that there was already somewhat of a base of customers. It wasn't like starting one up just out of the blue and having to get that out there. But how do you find that most of your business comes? Is it through a search engine? Is it through word of mouth? Is it, how do you do that?
Well, you know, the internet is our billboard.
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer dependent on traffic driving by Wilmore because, honestly, a lot of folks just keep going south on 68. They don't turn off. But because our presence is on the web, mm-hmm. anybody can find us anywhere in the world. And one of our greatest marketing tools is TripAdvisor.
Oh, yeah.
So we're on TripAdvisor. Of course, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Mm-hmm. But by far, TripAdvisor is the biggest mm-hmm. Advantage for us. And we've been excited. Last year, I just stumbled on the fact that we were rated the third best bed and breakfast in Kentucky on TripAdvisor.
Great.
And we were so excited. And so I thought, well, I wonder if we could ever get to number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month or so later, I checked it again, and we had gotten to number one.
And that's based on the reviews, right?
Correct. It's all based on our customer satisfaction and their reviews. And then later this fall, we got a message from a former guest that we had been named one of the top 50 small-town B&Bs in America by Bob Vila from This Old House.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were so excited that we represented Kentucky in that article and got that recognition.
Right.
So, we've had guests from all over the world. From Switzerland, England, Canada, Africa, all over the United States. And some of that is because of Asbury, but a lot of it is because of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
The horses, mm-hmm. people love our thoroughbred horses, and you know, this is the thoroughbred capital of the world.
These people that come in from these countries that may have not been here before, mm-hmm. do any of them have any surprising thoughts about, well, it's not what I thought it would be? And I'm not talking about in a bad way. I'm talking about pleasantly surprised. Or do they kind of know before they get here what they're going to
find? You mean the region?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
People love the area, the natural beauty, the entire equine industry,
mm-hmm.
the horse farms. There's no place else like it. The Civil War sites, Shaker Village is just down the road from us, and you know, it's a national treasure.
Right.
When we bought the inn in 2014, I saw an article on BBC Magazine, and it was basically called the 5 most often overlooked destinations in America for European travelers. And Shaker Village was listed as number 2.
Really?
Out of the top 5. We send a lot of guests there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you've got, like you said, so many things that are very easy to get to.
Yes.
Whether it's going there, whether it's going to the Palisades and with the High Bridge, and the history there mm-hmm. is just absolutely amazing. Or just up the road to, you know, the Kentucky Horse Park. I mean,
right.
there's just so many things that are Civil War, Camp mm-hmm. Nelson, my gosh. So I have booked in, and just because I'd never stayed in a bed and breakfast, and I'm assuming it's just exactly what it sounds like. But what's a typical thing? I book in, I show up at your place. What am I to expect for a night's stay in the next day?
Well, we have a variety of things that you can choose. If you just are just looking for a place to sleep and for breakfast, then you know that would be our basic package.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We also offer things like if we had a guest this weekend, it was their honeymoon, and he requested hand-dipped strawberries in the room mm-hmm. and a charcuterie board, meats and cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
And so we supplied that for their mm-hmm. Room. We also are a licensed food service, so we do fine dining catering. We coordinate the menu with our guests. So if you came in and you wanted to have dinner with your family or friends at the inn, we just plan it in advance and we plan the menu with you. We do things like beef tenderloin, scallops, homemade crab cakes, roasted lemon garlic chicken, orange ginger salmon, and all of our evening meals are at least a 3-course, sometimes 4-course, with appetizer, main course, and dessert.
So you could check in the afternoon, whatever your check-in time is, and more than just bed and breakfast, you could actually enjoy dinner there.
Correct.
As well. And then you get up the next morning. Now, do you guys just kind of have a set breakfast thing you do every day, or does it change, or how does that come about?
Our breakfast is actually a 3-course gourmet breakfast. So you come in, we have coffee ready about an hour before, or whenever you would like it, fresh coffee. And then we do an appetizer. So I make a lot of that. I make homemade granola, broiled grapefruit, different appetizers, and then we do the main dish. We do a frittata, which is a crustless quiche. We do a strata. We can also do waffles and different things. And then as an appetizer, I make a homemade sorbet or homemade brownies, homemade ice cream of all different kinds of flavors. One thing that I make for the entree is muffins.
I was getting to that. I was going to ask, because I have indulged in a couple of these. Tell us about the one I like the best with the bourbon sauce. Oh, my gosh.
Is that the chocolate banana?
Pumpkin spice.
Oh, the pumpkin spice.
Yes. Is that your doings?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So I
was in a meeting with your husband, and he brought some. And, I mean, that's one of those foods that as soon as you taste it, you're like, where have you been all my life? You know, it's so Kentucky. Yes. The sauce in it. I mean, it's you know, it's the bourbon. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. But I need to try this chocolate thing, evidently. It must be pretty good, too.
I make a whole assortment of different muffins. And Bo, I call him the glaze master because he has created a different glaze for each different kind of muffin I make. Because I make blueberry muffins, raspberry muffins, strawberry muffins, apple muffins, pumpkin muffins, banana chocolate, pumpkin spice, all different kinds. And then he comes up, and with his glazes, he will put Grand Marnier in it or bourbon or different. And then I use pecans or almonds. So it's like he tells our guests, it's like
they're
a
absolutely
cookie
amazing
on top of your muffin, and then there's the glaze.
Yeah, they're absolutely great. That would be worth going down and renting the place out for a night, guys, just to get those muffins.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
We do sell the muffins.
Do you really? Well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
And we also are open to the public making reservations for meals.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to stay with us to dine with us.
Okay.
Of course, we give preference to our guests.
Exactly.
But if we're available and you want to book a dinner party or a business luncheon or a ladies group, Saturday we did a luncheon for a wonderful repeat guest, and she brought her daughters and daughter-in-laws and granddaughters, and they had a nice Saturday brunch. Yeah. And visited. We have a guest lounge on the first floor, which is very comfortable. Our guests are welcome to, you know, after they dine, move into the lounge.
And we also have a deck that covers the back of the home. Bo is a plant guy, and during the spring and summer and fall, he has over 35 potted plants back there with palm trees and papyrus. It's very pretty.
A home away from home is what this is. I mean, you've got all the necessities, the food and the things and the luxuries to go with it, just to where you can get away and enjoy yourself and be pampered, it seems to be like.
Yep. We do all the work, and you just relax.
You enjoy it, and that's a good thing. Yeah. Any big plans coming up down the road for the inn? Anything we need to know about?
Well, we're excited about upcoming events in our county, and we're looking forward to Keeneland opens for the spring meet in April. We have, you know, Asbury University graduation coming up and the seminary graduation in May. We have in June, there's going to be a wonderful veterans event at Servant Heart Farm that will include concerts and presentations honoring veterans and it's a patriotic show.
Yeah.
Then in July, we have, you know, the honor of Jessamine County is hosting the Professional Golf Association Barbasol Tour at Champion Trace, which we're really excited about. So those are big events that are coming up.
Yeah.
We're getting bookings, it seems like almost every day, for folks coming in from out of state to do the Bourbon Trail, to visit Shaker Village, to take advantage of Camp Nelson and the history that we have to offer. There is a new attraction being created that we're looking forward to as well, and it's going to be a faith-based trail, sort of the idea of the Bourbon Trail, but this is going to be like a faith-based trail where folks will come in and they'll be able to take tours of significant areas, assets in our area, in our region that are faith-based, like Shaker Village and the First Moravian congregation in this area, and different things like that. So that's going to be exciting.
I have a connection to that, as a matter of fact, and I may have told you this, but and I don't remember how many it is. My mother was a roarer, and her great-great-great, and I probably need to go back seven or eight, I'm not sure. I know it was in the late 1700s, actually came to Wilmore. His name was Jacob Rohr, and he was a Moravian preacher. And his church was located in the building right about where the horse statue is right now, right there on the corner. That's how we got here. So, and that was, I guess, Pennsylvania. I guess they came out of that area of the country. So, yeah, long ties to the Wilmore area for myself. All right, so somebody is listening, and all this sounds so absolutely wonderful. They want to try to get to your place. What is the best way to contact you guys? Tell us all of that information of how they can find out you and more information about your place.
Well, they can check our website. It's scottstationin.com. They can look us up on TripAdvisor. They can email us at innkeeper@scottstationin.com, or they can call. Our phone is 270-392-4043. Okay. We'd be happy to answer any questions. Or
so you've been here, you said
2014.
14. So 3 years. And you've been here before. Does it feel like home?
It does. Wilmore is just a great place. I'm a more of a small town person, so I just love it. It's wonderful.
And I'm assuming that means that we probably can look for you to stay for a little while.
Yes. Good. I think so.
Good. That's good. We enjoy having people who aren't from here to come in and feel like they're part of here. And I think that when that happens, that we natives have hopefully done our job in making people feel welcome. Folks, this is a piece of Wilmore history, the house in particular, and even the business too, because it has been many businesses. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there that when they look at opening a business or being in a business, sometimes shy away from the small towns because they're afraid they can't make it. But I think you all had the foresight and the wisdom to know that you could make it as long as you, and it gets back to what you said about TripAdvisor, as long as you provide the customer with quality product, it doesn't matter where you are. They will come to you. And I think you all have proven that. We just appreciate you being part of our community, and so glad you're here. And I'm glad you came in and talked about it. I think that is the most saddest thing, I think, about our own community. And I think this happens everywhere. Sometimes people that are from here don't realize what we have. They look to other places and they don't really focus on what's to offer in your own borders. And I think this is a good example of the great jewel of Wilmore that sits there that a lot of people don't realize. So now they do, and we're glad for that. Good continued success to both of you. Glad
you're
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Bo and Sarah Quigg for coming in this morning and telling us more about Scott Station Inn, its history, and its contribution to our community. I appreciate you coming in also. We'll do it again next Saturday morning at 11, All Things Jessamine. Don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning from 6 until 8 to get you up and going on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.